On this episode of the podcast, we are joined by Hakeem Ruiz, Vice President and Co-Founder of The Block Gives Back. Also, you might hear Amber Allen, Director of Development, giggling in the background. She was also here on this episode of the podcast. And the Director of Logistics for The Block Gives Back, IX. On this episode of the podcast, we focus the entire story of The Block Gives Back, the story of self lived through Hakeem Ruiz, how that evolved into the story of us between him and his friends that started The Block Gives Back. And you will hear the story of now and all of the ways that The Block Gives Back engages the community to take action that Philadelphia needs right now. Also on this episode of the podcast, we will cover their August 19th Block to School event, which is from 11 to 2:30 at 6831 Tarsdale Avenue. Make sure you come out. It's going to be an amazing day. Lastly, we get to the bottom of the Block Gives Back team page on their website. Was Hakeem really a lion tamer? Was Sean really in the Blue Man Group? Make sure you make it through to the end of this episode to find out all of these answers.
What is in your life's blueprint?
Welcome, everybody, to the We Love Philly podcast. If you are wondering why you're hearing this old man and not one of the students, this is actually the first podcast with a bunch of new employees at We Love Philly. Everyone say what's up.
What's up?
Yeah, so I'm going to shout them all out. We have Justin Austin, Abigail Green, Zakiah Davis, Luis Uriarte, Tyed Wilson, the regular host of the We Love Philly podcast. We have Tiana Mason, Edna Ramos. We got Natasha Reyes, who's zoning out right now. Hey, girl. Gabriel, Gabriel Ramos, Sean Tate Webb back there acting like he already knows what he's doing. Yeah. And then we got Alex Darden. We are with a new crew, and this is actually their first podcast together. And we have been learning throughout the week how to create podcasts, how to research for podcasts, and they're super excited to be a service and to be here for our guest today. Our guest today is a familiar voice if you've ever listened to the We Love Philly podcast before. We mention this organization a lot in our podcast. We really appreciate all of the work that they do around the city of Philadelphia. We're joined today by Hakeem Ruiz. Hey, I remembered that last name too.
Nailed it. I got the Block Gives Back team with me. Make some noise. Yeah, it's not as many people, but we're all here. We have IX, we have Amber. If you are familiar with The Block Gives Back, those are some faces that have been around for a couple of years now. But thank you to We Love Philly for joining the Block Shop space and making this your own for the podcast.
So real quick, because I don't like to do this at the end of the episode anymore, because a lot of people don't make it to the end. But just for all of the beginning listeners, right, how can they find you? How can they follow you? How can they support The Block Gives Back?
All right, first I'll start with how you won't find us, because people typically misunderstand the name. It's not The Block Gives Back. People just don't like reading anymore. The Block Gives Back. So that would be no underscores on Instagram, just The Block Gives Back. We have theblockgivesback.org. If you mess up and put in .com, you'll still find us. We're Block Gives Back on Twitter, The Block Gives Back on TikTok, Facebook, The Block Gives Back, YouTube, The Block Gives Back, everything. You'll be able to find us. Google us. Go on abc.com, type in The Block Gives Back, 6ABC that is. But yeah, The Block Gives Back on everything. Rather simple to find us.
Dope. Thank you for that. So I want to pass it over to the co-host today, Edna Ramos. Edna, how are you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. So why are you nervous?
It's my first time on a podcast. So.
Yeah. Nice. What? Do you have any expectations? Like, what do you want to get out of this podcast?
I'm hopefully I can see you again on another podcast if I don't do too bad.
Okay. So, yeah, you want to...
Some experience, yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we're super blessed today because The Block Gives Back has actually welcomed us into the Block Shop. So we have about 20, well, close, like almost 20 people fully inside of here, which is awesome. We have plenty of space because we're used to operating out of a 40-foot shipping container. And yeah, we've been here all day just collaborating with the Block Gives Back, learning from them, meeting them, because they got a big event coming up. But before we get into that, Hakeem, do you mind letting the audience know just what is the Block Gives Back?
The Block Gives Back is a community organization that's been around for about 7 years. We do work all throughout Philly. We're a citywide organization made up of volunteers and just community people that came together in high school trying to find something better. It's bigger than us, really investing in the bigger picture and assisting Philadelphia however we can by truly digging in and connecting with proximate leaders, finding out what the problems in their community are, and trying to come up with solutions that involve different community organizations, leaders throughout each area of the city, small businesses, and really just getting everyone on the same page to really make sure our city is a better, safer place, whether that be cleaning the streets, whether that be creating Stop the Violence events, school bag drives, and so on. We really just want to be the shoulder of support for the whole city of Philadelphia.
What inspired you to start the Block Gives Back? It sounds like a lot of the things you do should be things that are commonplace, but it feels like you rattled off all of the things you do so quickly. It looks like it was very intentional. So what inspired you to start it?
Well, I would say the inspiration was my friends and myself being in a group of really mature-minded people at the time. Coming out of high school, we didn't necessarily just want to do nonsense. We didn't just want to have the fun. We wanted to make sure we had fun as well as took care of people, helped our friends, helped our neighbors, helped the less fortunate. And that was something that really carried on, just being able to say, hey, we want to give back, but we also want to hang out. We want to have fun. So we combined the two. Every time we connected, we were like, hey, let's have an event. Let's invite all of our friends out to give back. And then afterwards, we can have the fun. So it was really just inspired by the city. You know, this is a city of brotherly love. Connected with my brothers, my sisters, and said, you know, let's do something better, bigger than ourselves, beyond just our Saturday fun. How can we make an impact? And really, that's the President Tommy Rauch's mission. He was really always focused and dedicated on taking care of other people. He's a year younger than me, so at the time it was really bold of him to be able to lead a group of people older than him. And we all, you know, really believed in it. We wanted to connect and do something better for people, and it made us feel good. I always say giving is a selfish act because it makes you feel so good. So the inspiration was, you know, just looking around and seeing the struggles that people have, and hey, how can we make that better? How can we alleviate some of that stress? How can we at least show them we care, we're here to listen type of thing? And it's just been going on. And inspiration from groups like We Love Philly, seeing the work you're doing, groups like As I Plant This Seed, Ryan Harris, Power Circle led by Buddha Thomas. Like, there's so many other leaders that are really just showing us that you can have a good time, you can look fly, you can be a real presence in your community and still be, you know, someone of impact, someone that's making a difference. So the overall inspiration is just, how can we make a difference?
Like you said earlier, you said you're from Philadelphia, right?
Born and raised Philadelphia.
Yeah, could you tell me how, like, it was growing up for you?
Growing up was a blast. I had, you know, struggles. Everyone goes through something in their childhood and their upbringing. But for me, I, you know, was fortunate enough to have both parents in my life separated, but I love them. They're great people that showed me a lot. My mom showed me a lot of incredible work ethic. My dad showed me how to have fun. My dad showed me a lot of energy and just human interaction. Someone once told me that myself and my dad are the only people that can have long conversations with complete strangers. So coming up was really just making friends, trying to find my, you know, where I belong, because I moved around a lot early, different schools. Found a school in Frankfurt that I stayed at for a long time, and I started there in second grade, left in seventh, and developed friendships that I still hold on to this day. There's people that I work with in the community that are from that neighborhood in Frankfurt that I grew up in and donate to our events, come to our events. It's amazing just seeing that growth. I had an older brother that really took me under his wing, showed me a lot of things to do right, a lot of things to do wrong as well, and made sure I stayed on that right path. Then moving on into high school and meeting guys that I eventually went on to create the Block Gives Back with, the experiences are priceless, because thanks to the power of social media, we're still able to keep up, still able to be in contact. And that network is amazing. I just really was mindful early on to keep my network, keep people around that were beneficial, not necessarily using them, but just making sure we have, you know, reasons to connect. When we're hanging out, it's bigger than just let's have some fun. We want to make sure we're making the most of our time and not wasting any opportunities. So coming up in Philly, while there was struggles, there was moments of, you know, seeing things I probably shouldn't have seen, a lot of unlearning to do, but it really develops character. You learn a lot. You just got to really have your eyes open, your head on a swivel, and watch how you interact with people, whether that be you may give them too much, you may let them in, you might get emotionally hurt, you might get physically hurt. But it's all about really being aware, moving with smarts and care. When you show people you have genuine authenticity, nobody's going to really bother you. I'm not going to say nobody, but I was usually the short kid back in all the way going up to high school, and I had to use my hands a couple of times. Not intentionally, not I wasn't a bully, but when it came down to that, people respected it. So I love Philly. It's definitely all through me.
I know that you got some friends from high school that you started the Black Kids Back. Could you tell me a little bit about them?
All right, so I'm going to start with the president, Tommy Roush, my right-hand man, pots and pans. We go back like a Cadillac with full flats. And like literally, not a Cadillac, but the swag wag. Tommy was the younger guy who had a car, and everyone was piling into his wagon. And man, we made a lot of great memories, you know, to the point where we now have this incredible organization with an office and employee. And it really was, you know, just believing in what he taught us to be, essentially. Like, I was not always a great humanitarian. He instilled a lot of value into me to, like, care about others and to think of, you know, outside the box of, hey, yeah, these people may look like they're struggling, may look like they're in need, but why are they in need? Think about the reasons that led them to that. So Tommy really opened up my mind. Felix was is another founder. He was there from day one, and we connected over the Phillies games. We used to watch the Phillies, and now, you know, 15 years later, he has a child, and I'm going over his house, and we're still doing the same thing. Kev is on our board, and he is a guy that claims we met in high school. I don't remember, but we definitely reconnected, and man, we have just gotten tighter every year, really growing and understanding each other. We've had some amazing times together. My friend Ant, I've known him since eighth grade, even before high school. He would tell you different. He would tell you I've known him since second grade. Not true. But me and him, you know, have the same tattoo together. That's my brother. Like, I would literally, you know, go through war with him if I have to. He wouldn't put me through that, though. That's the best part about it. Sean, we connected with him at a party many years ago before one of our events. And we stayed up ridiculously irresponsibly till about 5 in the morning that night. We had the event at about 9. Sean rode a bike there from West Philly to Northeast Philly, and that's when he proved himself. And we're like, yeah, he's part of the team. He's part of the family. We have Amber to my left, who is our proud first employee and still holding it down with us and really taking us to the next level. We have IX behind me. He came in as a volunteer and has been just so loyal to the team that we keep finding ways to bring them back. IX went off to college, and we're, you know, once the summer starts, please come back. We miss you. We need you. IX got something to say.
These guys, I found them during COVID, which is when I really needed some guidance in my life. And I just kept coming back every week for Feed the Block, helping people. And they instilled a lot of good morals on me. Some not so good, but I followed the right path, went to college. And, you know, as long as they keep having me back, I'll keep coming back.
So I've been teaching in Philly for a decade. And something you said earlier about caring really stuck out to me. So a lot of times when I first get new students or new employees at We Love Philly or new youth in We Love Philly, one of the first ways that we butt heads ideologically is, well, mister, why should I care when no one else cares? Why do I have to pick up someone else's trash if they threw it on the ground? Why do I have to do these things when it doesn't seem like anyone else is doing them? So what would you say to that question, Hakeem?
No one asks you to be a leader. Unless you're in first grade when they ask you to be a line leader, that's like the only time. Leadership is not easy. It's a choice that we have to take within ourselves. And it's like you can just go with the flow. You can be any old person, or you can be different, or you can stand out, or you can choose to lead people. Like I said about Tommy, he found me and we were, you know, thick as thieves, really tight with great people. But we didn't necessarily click as far as I didn't understand why he wanted to give back, why he wanted to help. But then I started to see the value in it. I started to see the real human connection, tapping in with people that may not have ever seen better, been showed better. So it's upon us to at least offer them that opportunity, something that they may have never dreamed to see. For example, myself looking at the newspaper every day in my sophomore year of high school and seeing Obama, you know, go towards being president. When that happened, I'm not even a political guy, but it was just like, oh my God, the world is mine. Like, what can't I do? What can't we do? The power is within us. When you see something out on the street and you don't want to pick it up, that's your prerogative. But if you do, just think about the difference you're making. Somebody might have watched you do that. A kid might have watched you do that. Years ago, I wrote a little article for something that said, littering is the biggest family tradition that I've ever seen. I learned littering from everyone in my family. It's so natural to just, hey, I'm done with this. I'm going to just throw it out the window. But we have to unlearn that. We have to change that. So I'm going to be a leader, and I stopped littering. I haven't think I've littered in about 8 years now. And it's just a matter of really saying, I want to make a little difference. It's not always going to be easy. It can be stressful. And a lot of people are going to look to you for answers. It might drain you a little bit. But overall, it's within you to be a leader, to make a difference. When you have that extra level of care, it comes back around. I put in a lot of work in this field and industry of social work and community relations without any real formal experience. But I've been rewarded with a ton of blessings, whether it be just mutual respect all throughout the city or actual financial opportunities that I probably wouldn't qualify for if I wasn't taking the steps to be a leader, to jump out of the box and say that, hey, I really want to help and make a difference, even though I don't need to, even though I'm not asking for pay, even though it can be time consuming. No one's going to suggest for you to be a leader. You just have to do it. You have to take the steps forward and do it for yourself and the people around you. Be the change you wanted to see in the community. Be the person you needed when you were younger, type of deal.
My name is Tiana. First, I want to say shout out to the brotherly love, because like y'all tight, real tight. But the question I want to ask is, what is y'all story to self?
When we were in high school, there was an area like right outside of the lunchroom where there was like a poorly taped square in front of something. And we would look at that and be like, that's the block. There's also a street on Frankfort and Tolbutt that we used to literally refer to as the block. It's where we would hang out at. We go play basketball there. So whenever we was in school, we weren't the type, like we were pretty toxic friends. If you were sick, we would yell at you like, you're not coming to school. What are you, a coward? What, you don't come to school? Like, it wasn't cool to not go to school because we wanted to be together. And we would unfortunately be late to a lot of classes, but we would hang out in this one particular spot, and the security of the school would be like, oh yeah, y'all right, y'all on the block, y'all do y'all thing. We was just different, and that made us say like, yo, we want to stick together, we want to keep doing this. We hung out on the block, played basketball, played baseball, done different things the summers, stay connected. And that just grew into, yo, you know, we are the block, and now we're giving back. Merge the two, the block now gives back. And it was a real transition. You know, it went from just a group of friends hanging out and doing fun stuff to saying, all right, how can we now make a difference? Because we're getting a little older. You know, hanging out isn't the same as anymore. Let's do something more with our time. Let's make something more of our lives. And, you know, thankfully, looking back, what, 7-8 years now officially organized, things have really grown. And it really stemmed from those moments in high school, just hanging out, making sure we're holding each other accountable. We weren't asking anyone to be perfect, anyone to be a straight-A student, but it was really like, yo, come to school. What are you doing? You slacking. Like, we're not going to graduate without you. Like, what are we doing here? So a lot of it was really just wanting to be around the brotherhood, wanting to be around, and that goes for the women as well. It wasn't just like, you know, a men thing. It was the whole group saying like, yo, we're family and we want to really stick together. We held cookouts every year. I have D4L tattooed on my arm. It stands for Degenerate for Life. And, you know, a couple of the other team members have this. We are united. You know what I mean? It's not blood, but this family that we created that you see all throughout these pictures and probably the donors' names, they've gone on to live different lives and they may have separated from us, but we're all still connected because it really started on our block, meaning that little space in school, that was our block that has expanded to the whole city now.
What is your plans for the next couple of years?
Plans for the next couple of years is growth. We want to add like 7 more Ambers, but there's only one Amber, so that, you know, that's impossible, but we definitely... No, irreplaceable. We're going to continue to grow and have more employees, hopefully, but we want to give people like yourselves opportunities. There's nothing better than getting people who are from the community and also bringing a different perspective. So this whole team, as I've been saying, we started in high school and we're getting older now. We need some youth. We need some different energy. We want to know what the current problems are. We're not necessarily just as in touch as we used to be. We want to expand our space. We want to go to a concept of like daily programming, so where we can offer something to keep people off the streets, not just on Saturdays, but hey, even if you just want to come in here, work on your resume, you want to attend one of our programs, maybe even be paid for workshops, and really connecting more and more organizations together. We're looking for partnership. We're looking to touch every area of the city, meaning zip code by zip code, and find a way to make things sustainable within the community. The ultimate goal is to not exist, and that means we won't have to do the work when there aren't any more problems. So as of now, there's still some problems in the city. We're going to keep working. And the mission is to expand and really touch more lives, find out how we can really make a difference without just going with the same standard plans. We want to evolve it, make it modern, and make sure it stays something fresh, not just stale ideas that are going to grow old one day that people won't want to invest into. We want to listen to the small businesses around the neighborhood. We want to find a way to amplify them, shine a spotlight on them, find a way to shine spotlight and create opportunities to work with our community organization partners, as well as showing up to their events and helping grow with them. So really just a lot of expansion and creating opportunities.
I'm having like a proud teacher moment that I have to share. Now, it's really dope. And it shows just how natural storytelling is that we don't realize we're doing this. So the last couple of weeks in the Wheel of Philly program, we have been talking a lot about narratives, storytelling, brand archetypes, etc. And I heard Tiana earlier ask a question about the story of self, which Hakeem went through, right? His story of self to begin it. And then when you were asking story of self, we're going to learn about this next week. It was a perfect segue. You were like, what is the story, right, of the block? And that leads to the story of us. And you were asking, like, what is that story? How was the block invented from Hakeem, who was an individual who then found his crew in the lunchroom who saw that tape together and said, hey, this is the block. That's the story of us. And then after that, when you're talking about social change and how to tell a narrative and a story, it evolves to the story of now. And I think the story of now is actually why We Love Philly is partnering with The Block Gives Back, because they have the perfect opportunity for people to take action for a story of now. And if you're not sure what a story of now is, it's you have the people together, right? You have an us. We're ready. What do we do? Now what? And that story of now is usually going out and trying to be the change, like Hakeem mentioned, that you want to see in the world. And I think that The Block Gives Back does that with their events. They provide a lot of opportunities for people to come together and write their story of now. So Hakeem, can you like touch on what kind of events The Block Gives Back does and what event you actually have upcoming?
So yearly we have a lot of standard events, starting with end of the month drawing, something that we've been trying to really capture lately to lead into our end of the year drawing, which is probably, and I could say this about just about every one of our events, probably our biggest event. But we're just trying to create continuity to share that we want to go all around the city at least once a month, different organizations, different buildings, and share resources, share free food, and really have an opportunity to connect with different areas of the city. So it starts with end of the month drawing, January, the last Saturday of January, essentially. And then we move on to 4 Blocks in 4 Weeks, which is our street cleaning series. We do a street cleaning / block party every Saturday in April. When there's 5 Saturdays, we do 5 Saturdays. It gets very tedious, but that's another citywide event going through different areas of the city, connecting with the block captains, making sure we honor these streets that want to get their streets clean, and rewarding them with a block party. We have Love Thy Park, which runs from May up until just about October, mostly September because of weather, but we go to parks and try to give it a facelift, bring some activity, bring some fun, some spirit to the park, and really try to, you know, reclaim them as safe spaces, places where you want to be, places for fun and families, which leads into our Peace and Play Day. Obviously, the summer is not just hot, it's unfortunately very violent. People are outside, things get unsafe. So we're trying to reclaim the parks and have a day full of peace and promote it as, please, everyone come and stay in the park. Be a part of this. We just had it this last Saturday. 600 plus people attended. We had a basketball tournament. There was a DJ. There was bouncy houses, 15 plus resource tables, free items all over. And a giant success. There were police all throughout the place. They played volleyball with us. They played in a basketball game. And it was really unity. It was common unity, which is community. Everything came together and worked out perfectly. And now we are in, well, about to be in August. August 19th, we have our Block to School Drive. Can't even remember which year this is of it. We started this out on Torresdale Ave. We started this with Councilman Kenyatta Johnson down in Point Breeze. We donated like 300 notebooks to his event, which is also a basketball tournament. I believe it was Shoot Basketballs, Not Guns, something along the lines of that. But we then kept saying we want to do it bigger. We do it bigger. So we partnered with Hair Wizards a year or two after that, a local barbershop, and started having like block party themes. We made maybe 200 bags. Then we started filling them with supplies. We started passing out collection boxes like we have in the back of the office there to help us gain supplies. And fast forward a little bit, we made it bigger and bigger. Now we have a block party outside of our office annually that is just full of everything free. We're having performers, a stage, bouncy houses. There's free food. Last year we had maybe 30 or so partners in the blazing sun. It was really hot. Sorry for those partners that had to sweat a little bit. But this year is looking to be even bigger. For the last couple, I believe we did 1,000 bags. You're not just getting a book bag. You're getting, I believe mine's right there if you want to show it. You're getting a custom blocky backpack. This is, you know, true to the brand. And it's going to be filled with supplies. You're not just going back to school with a nice book bag. You're going back with 4 notebooks, 4 folders, I think 8 pencils, a ruler, 2 glue sticks, colored pencils or crayons, a sanitizer, a pencil case, a ruler. I can go on and on. We're literally filling this bag. You're going to have your back hurting by the time you leave. All we ask is that you bring the kid. And it's not even really to put a rule on things, but it's more so to encourage the parent, bring your kids, bring your whole family. We want to have a good time with you. We want to get to know you. We want to know what school you're going to, and maybe we can collaborate with the school. So we're going to have as many youth-friendly vendors out here, not just your standard, hey, we're handing out information about, recycling or something like that. While that's very necessary, it's very good. We want to make sure it's something that is attracting the youth as well and trying to make it cater to everyone to where when we're doing it from roughly 11 to 2:30. So within that time, we want to make sure nobody has to leave. Please stay for the block party. From my time coming up as a kid, I love block parties. I love being able to run the street. Don't know why. Very dangerous, but it's an urge. You get a bicycle, jump that thing in the street. Let's go. Anytime you get to go in the street, it's fun. So that's where we're trying to bring back that nostalgia of let's have fun on the street with our neighbors. Come and get a free book bag. Come and get free everything and also meet some of the partners that we're working with. That's the next big one. We have a fall ball baseball tournament that we do further on down the line, but all the focus right now is on Block to School.
For your event, Block to School, is there anything you love Philly or others can help to, help support?
Yes, we are asking for several layers of help, but thankfully it's not as nearly as much as we used to ask for. We used to have to ask for people to buy the bags. We used to have to ask for people to buy all the supplies. Now we already have half the supplies covered, thankfully, to the Carpenters Union, Local 158. Great folks that were kind enough to donate a ton of supplies. So now we're asking for people to help us get the rest of it. There's still notebooks to get. We're putting out those collection boxes in local businesses, local organizations that are willing to host them. We can always have things sent to our office, 6831 Torresdale Ave in Philadelphia, PA 19135. So we have that option. There's also the option of just saying, hey, if there's any organizations that want to spread awareness of great things like We Love Philly, we want you to be present, whether it be just, coming to speak, maybe coming to table and really offering an opportunity for people to find out about these great resources, these great outlets. We are looking for volunteers, obviously. There's always going to be a need for these organizations like ours to have volunteers at events, bag runners. We're going to need people that are catering to the food station, people that are just subbing people out because it's going to be hot. And even promotion, as little as a share on Instagram, a like on Instagram, a comment to help us stay in the algorithm. Little things like that really help. A podcast like this helps just to help get the word out. So there's several layers of ways that we can, have assistance, even just connecting us. Hey, this program works with you directly. How can you create an impact? And that's where we'll try to say, all right, let's talk to them. Let's see what we can set up. And there's just a million different ways that people could get involved with this one.
Okay, so my name is Zakiya Davis.
Hi, Zakiya Davis.
And I read on the website, is it true that Sean was a part of the Blue Man Group?
Let me ask y'all, did anyone go to the very bottom of that page?
I did.
All right, so someone doesn't know.
It said it was non-factual. That was,
The only thing that was true on that page was our positions within the block is back. So I also became a lion tamer after I wrote that, though. Why would you tell her I wasn't when I was?
Because you
at some point when we had a story on NBC, she could still look for me on the website. At Telemundo NBC is connected. We was on there a couple years ago. I'm going to be on there one day. I don't know how to speak Spanish yet, though. I wrote the novella in English. So I would suggest everyone go to theblockisback.org, go to meet the team and read the bios. They're very, very interesting, very informal. If you want to get to know us, me and my uncle started a club back in the day called Spaghetti Eddie's. Great time. We used to really run the disco scene. It was awesome. Did it gauge your interest?
Yeah.
Got your attention, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, nonprofit work isn't very fun sometimes, so you got to spice things up. You got to get people in.
So my name is Justin, and I know everything started in Philly and all that, and I want to block. So I wonder if you want to like, go like, worldwide with it, or like you want to stay in Philly with it?
That is a great question, because that was something that we spoke about a lot when we were starting this. And we definitely have an intention to keep this being in Philly. Similar to We Love Philly, we really love Philly. As I said earlier, I have an eagle tattooed on my arm. Like, it means a lot to us to consistently give our attention, undivided attention, to Philly. So we've thought about expanding, but we really want to perfect what we have going on here first. And down the line, we probably can create chapters elsewhere, but it's going to have to take really good relationships, really good communication to make sure that they're using our name the right way. I can't be in another place all the time. I do work for a nationwide nonprofit called CARE, and we do a lot of work that thankfully can spread the Block Gives Back message all around the country, but we don't want to go into, say, name a random city.
Arizona.
Arizona. All right. I was just in Baltimore yesterday. So say we go into Arizona and we start telling people, hey, we want to come here and do a block party, yada, 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 and they're like, what the hell is a block party? Why would we do that? Our houses are a mile apart. There's five people on one block. It doesn't fit. The things we do here may not actually affect them in the wintertime. We're giving out socks. We're giving out, you know, things that keep people warm. It's really hot out there. I don't think they need that. So I say that to say you really want to make sure what you're doing is genuine. You have an approach that considers expertise. And we don't want to go into another location as the Block Gives Back claiming that we know what they're all about. So it really would take someone to present themselves to us and saying, hey, we love your mission. How can we expand it in our area? And that's when we can start the conversation on how to do it the right way. Not to make sure we're not just in someone else's community doing things disingenuous where people aren't going to like us, aren't going to approve of the work, and think that we're culture vultures. So in Philly, we have a good idea of what's going on, and we really open things up to our whole team to give us opinions, whether we like them or not. We have to listen. We want to hear what the community has to say. So I would like to take things, you know, worldwide, nationwide, but as of now, we're going to keep focusing on how can we best support Philly, and when we connect with people that are in other areas that have a like-minded mission, we're going to then tap in with them and see how we can grow it.
If you can go back in time and tell the teenage version of yourself three things, what would it be and why?
So first one I would say is do it. Don't doubt. Just do it. Continue on your path. Don't question things as much as you feel you may need to. Don't overthink. Go forward. Believe in yourself. Believe in your gut. That's what I did to this point, and I love it. I feel like I haven't had to regret many decisions based on that mindset. And I would definitely firstly tell myself, continue to do what you are doing and believe in yourself. Secondly, I would say a quote that I shared yesterday with Amber, tough times don't last, but tough people do. To remind myself that while situations may be hurtful, it might be temporary, it's not about what you're feeling at the moment. It's about the bigger picture. It's about tomorrow. It's about, you know, my future children. It's about the generations beyond me. There's always a bigger picture, and to know that nothing that happens today, today's clouds are going to turn into tomorrow's sunshine. Definitely have to keep an optimistic mindset at all times. And thirdly, I would say make friends, network, continue to grow that network, because everyone's going to have a purpose, and it's up for you to find out how to best connect to that purpose, to grow with that purpose. And I just love the opportunity to be able to branch out with these people and really create meaningful relationships. Have fun with people. Don't be afraid to have fun. Life is way too short. No day is promised. I never had a bad day in my life. If I did, I'm not going to say that part. I was just complaining. Never had a bad day in my life, though. You really got to have that mindset that every day you wake up, you can make today something special. Even if you're feeling a little off, I'll share with you that today, 2 years ago, Miss Gucci left the earth. That's my best friend in the world. So to be a part of something like this on a day like this, it means a lot to me. And, you know, she was around when I was in that age, going through something. So I would tell myself, you know what I mean, just keep making those friends, making those memories, because nothing lasts forever. And every moment is precious and special. So, you know, be really mindful of the time that passes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I want to send some love your way. I appreciate you all and your team for taking the time out to host us today. When I started We Love Philly 4 years ago, the Block Gives Back were one of the first organizations that trusted me enough to have you on our podcast, to invite us out to events. I immediately felt like family the first time I volunteered here, and it really, really inspired me to watch the work that you're doing. especially doing it right down the street from where I grew up. So you all have a special place in my heart, and I appreciate everything that you all do and consistently do. I don't know a more consistent group in Philadelphia than the Block Gives Back. You're out here every single week giving, loving, and caring, and it's very inspiring. So thank you.
Word. Appreciate that. Thank you. We're not going to stop.
Yes.
The Block don't stop.
So we always end the podcast with this last question.
Is Abigail Green, what is your definition of love?
My definition of love is within. Love of self. Love of understanding who you are to best share and express that with the world. If you don't have love within yourself, you're not going to know how to love another, to share love, to spread love. And it has to be genuine. You got to look in the mirror, be happy with what you see. And you got to look at your life and be happy with what you are creating. And understand that it's all within your hands. There's a lot of love to give, but it starts within. When you're empty, there's no love to give. Naturally, you're just not able to do it. So you got to continue to fulfill what you want to do, create the life you want to live, and you'll be able to spread endless love. When you aren't on those days where you feel like you're at your best, like, you know, I just mentioned my dog. There were times I would come in here and I wasn't feeling good. But they made me feel good. They helped me feel better. So you had to be intentional about creating spaces where you can accept love, and then you'll be able to give love. There are times you might see me here and I'm wearing sunglasses 85% of the time. It's because I don't want people to necessarily feel anything other than love. They look in my eyes and they see that I've been having a hard day, a night or whatever. They see stress in my eyes. I don't want them to feel a negative energy to come off of that. I want them to feel love. So my voice, what I will share, the energy that I give, it's not always about what I look like. It's not always about what I'm, you know, giving off as far as perception. But what I'm always going to give out, literally, what I'm going to spread, what I'm going to say out of my mouth, what I'm going to try to present to other people is love. And it's because I truly love all the experiences I had in my life, all the people I've come across, whether it be organizations like We Love Philly, meeting Carlos years ago and finding ways to continue to connect and spread love, or the love that my dog gave me, the love that Gucci provided in my life to give me inspiration to go on and continue to love, continue to persist with, I care about these people that don't know me. I care about my neighbor. Whether or not I'm having a good or bad day, love is all within, and starting with loving yourself and spreading that everywhere you can go, whether it be go visiting your family, spread that love. Whether it be listening to art, looking at art, appreciating something that means something to you, that grows from there, and you can then express that same feeling, that same thought to the world, and it's going to make it a better place. Once again, it's the city of brotherly love. We love Philly. The Block Gives Back is just full of love, and we want to spread it.
So basically, it's like the We Love Philly slogan, give love, get love.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Well, thank you so much for your time. If you remember from the beginning of the episode, you can follow them on all of the social medias at The Block Gives Back. Go over to theblockgivesback.org. Donate your time, donate your treasure, donate your talent, and make sure you come out on August 19th from 11 to 2:30 for the Block to School event. We Love Philly will be there. All of our young people will be there. And then, yeah, stay tuned to our social media and you will start to see all the content to promote everything about this event. Peace.